Hey, it's another episode of the Cooligans. Look at this.
Look, the
all time. That's all time.
All of time.
Yo, Pelé, you cooked up.
Okay, we don't need to go after Pelé right now.
Look at where
now. You
at, Klinsmann. We can't even see you, dog.
No, man.
How is Mbappe at this age already? Him and Messi are in a race, in an arms race.
Bro,
the most goals.
We got to ask, is the World Cup washed? Is that what it means?
Son.
Is it?
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. I'm Alexis. That's Christian. Together we're the Cooligans. And when we join with you, we become the Cooligans live every day.
Okay.
Noon to 1 at 1 o'clock.
You're part of the team.
Yeah, come on. Eastern.
Okay.
Well, no one even if you live in the Midwest, we still say Eastern, and you got to do the math.
you got to figure it out. Well, I don't use Army time out
there.
Yeah,
Mountain time. By the way, how often do we forget about Mountain time? All the time. Messi is not from this world. Well, it didn't work for Wemby. MLS.
That's not. We can't boast too much.
Okay.
That means Leo Messi at the World Cup, 26 goals and assists, 18 goals, 8 assists. I mean, this is
insane productivity. The man's on peptides. It's gotta be it.
Okay.
He first of all lives in Miami now. That's Peptide Village. And second of all, how is he dialing it back? Argentina has scored 5 goals. Messi has scored 5 goals. There's so many younger people on Argentina.
And they don't split goals between players. No, it's all him. I mean, his game against Austria yesterday was just fantastic. I mean, this is
a lot of records since 1966. What happened in 1966? But it says here, Lionel Messi yesterday was the oldest player on record since 1966 to do something, but the tweet went away.
the tweet cut away.
And now I will have you know that whatever that stat was, I'm sure it was impressive. But a lot of stuff happens in 1966. Hey, it's back. on record since 1966 to record 5-plus shots, right?
Yeah, shots and 5 dribbles. Okay, I'll read it for you, Alexis. He refuses to get glasses.
In a FIFA World Cup match. I mean, the guy is just unstoppable. And it seems to me like the conversation about whether he's the GOAT or not, I thought we shut the book on that the moment Cristiano Ronaldo didn't score any goals in the first match. But I know you in particular, you were hedging your bets a little bit. Like, hey, he could be the GOAT, but he needs to do X, Y, Z during this World Cup. Have we seen enough?
No, I mean, it's not. I'm not necessarily making the argument that, like, this World Cup needs to prove something. It's not. I mean, because that's kind of been the question. This is arguably his last World Cup, and like he won the World Cup in 22. Does he need to do something else to kind of convince any other doubters? And my quick answer to that is no. But what I will say is it's so unbelievably impressive what he is doing at his age. The second goal against Austria, right? From missing a penalty to getting to the ball being dummied, and that's a common Messi goal. When the first one, that he does that all the time.
Bro,
does it in his sleep.
8-9 years ago, I heard someone yell magisterial over that same goal.
So,
you know what I mean? It's happened in like 4 different shirts.
We know it so well that you're like, the guy that was supposed to be marking him, I'm like, are you serious?
Even he was like, yo, that's from the game. I've seen this
highlight. Yo,
I've done this myself.
He's like, yo, I'm in the highlight.
Oh, shit. And he was waving to his mom. He's like, look, mom.
So that was what the second goal.
The one where he chases his own miss.
Yes, but now,
no one else is running.
No,
the 39-year-old man.
He's chasing Julian Alvarez's miss, right? Because he sets up.
Yeah, you're right.
He passes the ball so beautifully to Julian Alvarez where it's like, bro, this is like the fact that we all saw that he should have made the
baby birded him.
He
chewed the food and spit it in his mouth, and Julian let it run off his chin.
If Messi picked it up and put it on the penalty spot for him, it wouldn't have been a better pass.
He could have put it on the line and said, just any part of your body, run into this thing.
And Alvarez, you know, obviously the keeper makes a stop, but in that moment, I'm like, Alvarez doesn't need to take like that extra touch, and he can finish that. And it gets the ball back to Messi. I forget who is it, DePaul or Enzo Fernandez. I forget who gets him, who passes him the ball very quickly. And use the touch. I don't know if we have a still or anything of this. The first touch.
It goes between like 4 people.
But he stops the ball with his. I can't even do the move. His foot. The ball's coming this way and he stops the ball.
He stops it back here by bending his leg up like you were, you know, like let's say you kicked your foot up to check, did I step in poo?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of what he did.
He did that. I'm looking.
The ball bounces direct, like down, like the direction his leg would be in.
Yeah.
And lands in front of him, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I've never seen that happen before. So, you know what I mean? I've watched soccer my entire life. I don't think I've ever seen that done.
Remarkable. The fact that he stopped the ball, it was a bad pass to him. Yeah. Like, you hitting the ball.
It was overhit.
You don't even need to hit it that hard.
Yeah, but even he was like, don't worry, I got it. Don't worry about it.
Stops the ball on a dime and then continues. That's like, yeah, like, if I would have stopped that ball, I've been like, oh my God, I can't believe I stopped that ball. Like, y'all see that?
Would have posed with it.
and then to continue on and then take the shot, it gets a block and he continued. Goalkeeper is spinning like a top. He doesn't know where the ball is.
In that clip, he was both Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby. He got not only the shot off, missed it, but his own tipping, essentially. He chased his own miss.
Yeah,
and I can't explain to you what, I don't know what minute this was in the game. The man's 40 years old, basically.
Yeah.
And he's chasing it. No one else is chasing that shot. No one else is looking to where it could go. But he had the vision. He said, oh, I hit it this way. I see the keeper going. It's probably going to parry this way. And he runs after where exactly it's going to be. And then he shoots it between like two or three limbs everywhere. It's so impressive.
The Austrian defenders are just like, there was one defender, I forgot who it was, but that was mad at the guy that was closest to the ball.
Yeah.
Like, man, you should, like, no, bro. There's no you should. It's messy. Like, we can't figure it out.
I'd love to, like, you know, when you put your arm around the other defender and you start apologizing, imagine he was just like, I can't see him, bro. He's just so bad.
Yeah, my man. It's a ghost. There's a ghost here.
Bro, he was in front of me and then he was behind me, man. I can't tell you how.
It's remarkable.
What we're seeing is unprecedented.
You know, I'm even more humiliated and embarrassed because in our predictions, producer Carter was like, who do you think is going to win the Golden Boot? You know who I said?
Ooh.
I said Julian Alvarez, bro.
Oh, damn.
I said...
That man, is he even on the squad? Let's be honest.
I was like, yo, he's going to get fed so much by Messi. And obviously, everybody's going to be focusing on Messi. He's not going to be able to do... to be honest, MLS teams defend against Messi better than these international teams, bro.
I keep saying it. People were poo-pooing the move to MLS. And I said, one, it's going to keep his legs a little bit fresh, right? Because the level of competition is not exact. He doesn't have to face monsters in the Premier League if you move to the Premier League, or you know, a Ligue 1, maybe you can compete, but again, a little bit younger. But for me, the one thing it's done is it's proved to me that club teams, they don't stack up defensively as well, or I'm sorry, international teams don't stack up defensively as well, because you know, these guys are just starting to play with each other. You don't often get he's allowed himself to go against younger defenders. He's way more prepared. He's familiar with speed that you're going to get. And maybe the level of MLS we're realizing is above that of your average international squad.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
No, I'm sorry. It's defending because four play together.
The main thing here is the in international football, like when the tactics break down and you need to get a goal, or you need to get a point, like, that is kind of the difference.
Individual brilliance can win you a couple of games in a World Cup. Right. It may not win you the full World Cup, but yeah.
So tactically, the things break down, and this is where the cohesion disappears, right?
Plus, Messi's used to playing with a couple bums, bro. He's like, Julian, I got this, bro. I've seen Campagna make the same miss. I've seen Beja Carmasco also not make the run.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's at his age, what he's doing to these teams that you, when you, we talk about individual brilliance, I also expect some individual brilliance from these defenders, right? They're almost half his age.
You can't do that on a backline, though. Backline has to play like a unit. At the very least, your two center backs have to play like a pair.
Right, right.
So individual brilliance is like, yo, why are you doing all that?
But how can it?
We're supposed to be back here.
But the fact that it's Messi scoring all the goals in these two games is kind of crazy.
I know he's going off script a little bit, but when he got the Golden Boot, the Ballon d'Or, I should say, everyone was like, yeah, he's an active MLS player, but he won it for his activity outside of MLS.
Sure.
This is straight up an MLS player. Is he the greatest of all time? Yes.
Yes, yeah.
But this is straight up an MLS player. He's been in MLS now for what, 2.5 years?
Yeah, almost 3 years. Yeah, this is a MLS guy cooking
you. This is an MLS player.
He plays against FC Dallas and then is going to cook Algeria, bro.
He trained. He scored 5 goals in the first 2 matches of the World Cup by training against CF Montreal. This man is an MLS player.
And we're giving the highest of respect to CF Montreal. Let's not...
Thank you for your work. Let's talk a little bit about Mbappe because Messi's not the only one scoring buckets. Mbappe's hot on the trail.
Yeah.
First of all, respect your elders, Mbappe.
Yeah, he's 11 years younger and only, 2 goals behind Messi for most goals. 2 or 3, something
you
like that.
You think end of this World Cup, we're going to see Mbappe hold the record for the most goals ever in a World Cup at the age of 26, 27 years old, which is crazy.
I'm going to say no, only because Messi is going to have it. Messi's not going to stop. It's interesting. This third game for Argentina obviously does not matter much. Will Messi even play? Does he care about continuing this record? The third game would be against Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you... No, Michael B, actually.
From New York. Look out, Messi.
So does he care enough to, you know, not take the rest over maybe pursuing this record? Same thing with Mbappe on France. Does he want to play that third game?
I think
they have to. Oh, okay. They have not clinched the group yet. So thank you. All right. So so Mbappe will be playing. So does Messi care enough about this record, or does he just want to get the World Cup for Argentina again?
I think, look, you're ride the hot hand is what I would normally say.
Nobody else is. There's right. No other hot hand.
But come on, I don't think it's going to cool his embers. I think give him a little bit of a break, or maybe don't play him for the whole match. Get him out and let him play 2 quarters. And then he can sit out the rest of the game.
Sure. We're looking
knowing him, he'll probably want to play all 90.
It's impressive. I think what Messi is doing, and we're looking at this list of the leading goal scorers in the World Cup, what Messi is doing is even more impressive given that Mbappe is so close and 11 years younger. It's also impressive. Mbappe has done it this is his third World Cup.
Crazy.
And also,
Mbappe, I would argue, is filled with better offensive talent around him.
Sure.
Messi. And Mbappe's still that guy.
Yeah.
You know, Mbappe is, you can think whatever you want about him, Real Madrid fans, PSG fans, but the kid turns out for France, and he is just unstoppable in his time. And when you've got a guy like Olise, who's also on fire and just like, I don't even want to score, dog. I want to assist.
No.
That's like, thank you so much. It's like if my wife was like, I just made all this chicken parm for no reason and I don't want to eat it. Do you want it? I'd be like, yes, I do.
Wow, what an assist, honey. Like, oh my God.
Thank you, Olise.
It's like your wife with the dish. And it's a literal dish.
It's a little dish. Spills a little on me. I'm like, I'll eat it.
I mean, the one thing here is like, because this World Cup is expanded and there's quote unquote some weaker teams. We're seeing, you know, Erling Haaland get 2 braces in games. Mbappe, you know,
this is his first World Cup.
No, I'm just saying that it is the record of slightly diminished because there's going to be an extra game.
Not if you bring up Haaland, man. He needed to score those goals because they're so bad defensively.
I expect a lot from.
So these are 3 great players.
Yeah.
It's not like Riyad Mahrez at his age is scoring a brace. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And Algeria could use it for a large part of that game.
Yeah.
But these are 3 players we knew were going to have big tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's one guy there that he's like, why are you talking about me? Well, you're not doing much, buddy. Ronaldo.
Oh, yeah.
So, no.
The memes are classic.
So, but this is I think just the maybe in this iteration, because we just introduced these new, an expanded World Cup. It feels, and I'm sure when the World Cup was from 16 to 32 teams or 24 to 32 teams, I'm sure the same thing was said of like, how significant are the records when there's going to be more games, more quote unquote weaker teams. So I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit, but I will say, I think, like I said, I did not expect Messi to play this well, even against Algeria, even against Austria, right? Like I just, you expected him to contribute, and he's older, and does he have the same exact fire that he always did? And he clearly does. And I think it's a credit to Lionel Messi, and I think an indictment of these other teams that are not prepared to play against Argentina and against Lionel Messi.
Yeah, I mean, look, the idea of like whether Mbappe can catch Messi in this tournament is insane because he's 39 years old.
Right.
It's crazy to suggest he has to catch this man. Mm-hmm. But I also think regardless of what happens in this tournament, and I do believe that, you know, whether Messi sits or feels a little bit of a twinge or, you know, just at his age, maybe an injury happens or he gets a knock and he has to sit out a portion of the match. Mbappe's just younger. He's probably going to catch it. And I don't see Argentina getting to the final. I do see France getting to the final winning. So I do think Mbappe probably catches him and beats him. But if he doesn't do it in this tournament, this is probably Messi's last.
Yeah.
And Mbappe's got probably three more. You know what I mean?
And team, I mean, I would sort of say this about Messi as well, but Mbappe, I don't really, in these two games, I don't see anybody stopping Mbappe. The only person that is stopping Mbappe is Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah.
Either some poor touches or, I mean, that...
Unless Luis Enrique becomes the coach of France.
Yeah.
And he benches him in the 28th minute.
His first goal... the game yesterday was just fantastic on his left foot, bro.
His weak foot, and it was a rocket.
It was a Michael Olise shot.
Yeah,
from a player that is not left footed.
Yeah, dude, it did this thing where like it kind of shot it like knuckled in a way where I'm like, even if you attempted to catch that, you're not going to.
Dude, I mean, he's just on
his weak foot.
He's on another level when he wears his France shirt. It's a shame that he can't kind of continue this like this. Not even just he has the quality still with Real Madrid, but it's just the vibes are just not there. The vibes with the French team are just so positive. The world loves him. He puts on the merengue shirt, and mm-hmm. everybody's like, "This guy, get him off my team. He's destroying my club." And he's the leading goal scorer for his club, and it makes no sense.
It's hard to put together. And again, it makes it feel like it's a Real Madrid problem because the vibes are high in France.
Yeah, yeah. This is a... I mean, look, I feel lucky and blessed that we're getting to see all three of these players play at this incredibly high level. Even though, again, my expectations weren't this high, especially in the World Cup. You expect these like 2-1 wins or 1-1 draws and these battles and this old dude is like, nah, bro, I don't care what these...
Watch what I'm going to do. 1-0.
Nah, not for me.
I'm wearing an Arsenal shirt.
We got
comments
on YouTube. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube.
What y'all saying out there?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm the comment, bro.
Damn, comment, Christian. Okay. Argentina are basically the, what if we gave Atletico Madrid Lionel Messi experiment? Dude, Danny Corcoran, man, that is... That is on
point.
Yeah,
did he hear? Also, Julian Alvarez he's trying to force a move out of Atletico. Because Barcelona, they bid.
You know his release clause?
No, I don't know what it is.
500
Come on,
million
get out with euros. That nonsense.
And that's the only way they'll ever sell to Barcelona. So it's looking like a Jokeres plus 50 million pound swap.
Interesting.
By the way, Argentina without Messi
is like Portugal with Ronaldo.
Ace, good job, huh?
Well done.
Okay. I don't know whose idea it was, but having Messi and Mbappe and Haaland playing the same night was unbelievable scheduling. The scriptwriters knew what they were doing with this episode. You know?
Thank you so much. Alexis the Jaguar.
Bro, your boy look good in left, bro. I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
Okay. Gabadon Arsad out to Pico said, MLS guy Messi is built different. He's used to playing in high-pressure situations. Tornado watches in Dallas. A man wielding a chainsaw mid-game in Portland having to visit Ohio.
Ohio caught a stray there.
Three equally dangerous...
Just harrowing life experiences. I got to go to the Applebee's in Columbus, Ohio?
Dude, I mean, enough with the... I mean, this. It puts a little bit of this retirement league stuff to rest.
No, it doesn't.
You don't think so?
I think everyone thinks he's just that great.
I don't know.
He could stay at a high level while at MLS.
The Chicago Fire fans were saying this with Jordan Shaqiri. He was like, yo, this guy's trash for my team. Yeah. When he played in the Euros, they were like, yo, where's this guy?
How come that guy don't play for it?
I would love
We that. Should sign that guy. I don't know why we signed his twin.
Can we redo the contract to figure this out?
That's the Shaqiri wherever he is.
Anything else? Is that the last one? I think it might be. Okay. All right. All right. So, shout out to everybody for the comments. Go to YouTube if you want to leave us some more comments throughout the show. We'll come back in a bit. We got the one and only Bruce Arena joining us right after this.
What an absolute honor. Oh, my God.
This is
it.
So cool. How long have we waited for this moment?
Bro, the one, the only Bruce Arena is on Cooligans. This is incredible. And he joins us because he's on Coach's Corner, a new show that brings together former UN's men's national team head coaches Greg Berhalter, Bruce Arena, and Bob Bradley. Technical analysis. You get insider perspective, candid World Cup conversations throughout the tournament. Available to stream on FanDuel's YouTube channel.
Let's
pretty
go.
Good.
Bruce Arena, Mr. Arena.
Yes, right, senor.
Like senor Arena. This is an absolute honor for us. I'm from Brooklyn. Alexis is from Newark, New Jersey, and lives in Brooklyn now. And like we were saying before we started recording, like we have appreciated who you are, not just as a coach, but also as a person. So I just want to give you a flout. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
And I was born in Brooklyn, so we got a lot of time.
Okay, what part of Brooklyn? Just I don't know.
Sheepshead Bay or something?
It was the Italian section many years ago. I'm going to be 75 this year, so
Bay
I don't
Ridge?
I don't think it exists anymore.
Okay. Okay. The big
Brooklyn
real estate.
Brooklyn has changed. But yeah, you grew up in Long Island. Actually, the three of you guys on the show are all New York, New Jersey. Why do you think, as two people from the New York, New Jersey area, why do you think that area is so rich with soccer heritage and has given so much to U.S. soccer from this relatively small area, large in population, but relatively small area in square footage?
Well, you know, obviously after World War II, there was a lot of immigration to the United States and a lot of people came into the Brooklyn, New York area. And they came from, as they call it in Europe, football countries. And behind the scenes, there's all these pockets of rabid football people. And, the New York, New Jersey area has always had that. And some of the greatest talent in our countries come out of New Jersey and New York, especially in New Jersey, Kearney, where I recruited a lot of kids at the University of Virginia who ended up playing for me in MLS and also the national team. But there's always been a rich tradition that was really under the radar in the New York, New Jersey area. And now we see it's just absolutely blossoming. And now, you know, in years to come with the New York City building that new stadium, it's going to be fantastic. Red Bull in New Jersey. So, you know, the New York, New Jersey area is a hotbed for the sport in our country.
Okay. I'll just add this, actually. My elementary school touched buildings with the Scots American Club. So growing up, I would see, like, you know, your Tony Miolas and all these guys, your Tab Ramos coming in. They were like superstars to us. We know who they were. Their photos were up at all the sandwich shops and delis. It was like a huge deal.
And now we've like befriended, Tony Miola, which is a...
He doesn't want to be friends with us, but we have his number and he can't do anything about it.
And it's just wild. But when, you know, when you say under the radar and then when you shake Tony Miola's hand, I'm like, there's no radar. You are escaping.
It's not even... The Richter scale picks him up when he walks.
My man is
huge. I had Tony as a young kid at the University of Virginia. Then he played for me on the national team and with Red Bull as well. So we go a long way back.
Without a doubt. And you know, you took the U.S. men's national team in 2002 to the quarterfinal. We're seeing, you know, these two group stage matches and incredible performances.
We were cheated out of a semifinal, might I add, but we can talk about
we'll
that
talk about
time.
That later. But the first time that the U.S. men's national team wins back-to-back World Cup matches since 1930. We were babies back then. Bruce, how far do you think this team can go? What are you impressed by at the moment?
Well, first of all, we have a few advantages. We're playing at home, and we've had fantastic support in the stands. The players have played well. The group hasn't been particularly strong, but we have a very good team. How far can we go? My guess is obviously we're going to win in around the 32. That would be my guess. I don't know who we're playing. Some people tell me it might be Belgium. And then we'll be in around the 16. And then things get really interesting. We'll be playing against one of the, you know, obviously stronger countries in the competition. And you never know. I would not be surprised if we made it to the quarterfinals. So let's hope we can keep advancing.
You know, I'm wondering what your thoughts are as you watch this current crop of U.S. men's national team, which is, you know, with two wins out of two matches, have absolutely caught the hearts of so many Americans that probably don't really care about soccer prior to those two matches, or at least not in a big way. I'm wondering if you're watching this team play and thinking, you know what, I wish I had this one player on my team, or, oh man, I would have loved to have coached this player. Is there anyone that springs to mind that you're watching and you're thinking, damn, I'd love to be on the sideline coaching this guy?
Well, I had Christian Pulisic with me in 2017. He's a fantastic player. Mm-hmm. You know, Balogun has done a great job. McKennie, I love, really great work ethic, a physically strong player. I think Tyler Adams has done a tremendous job. The back line is doing very well. You know, so this is a real team, guys. This isn't luck in the first two games. We have a really good team, and again, as I said, I would not be surprised if we can keep advancing in this tournament.
One of the things that we love whenever we have players on the show that have been coached by you, we always ask them, like, what is it about Bruce? Why? How could you got to this team and you found such incredible success? Like, we just recently had on Tommy McNamara. You obviously coached him at the Revs, and I asked him this exact question, and everybody speaks so highly of you, but they speak about you in this vague way that almost they can't exactly understand.
Or they don't want to give up the real secrets.
they can't comprehend. They don't understand how you unlock this ability from them. So I would love just to ask you that directly, because, you know, a lot of people say that you are like a player's coach, and you know how to communicate players. You let them know where they stand, and they appreciate that about you. But what, from your perspective, what is it that you would say? Like, look, you were obviously the San Jose Quakes from year one to year two is just crazy. Incredible. As how does Bruce Arena do it?
Well, I try not to complicate things for the players. You know, I think at the end of the day, you know, people talk about formations, this or that, and I tell our team all the time, they have 11 players, we have 11. Let's not make it too complicated. And I appreciate the concept of team. And I think it's vitally important, not only for our starting group, but the last player on our roster is equally as important as the best player. And we try to build that into our team. And the importance of team is critical. I think I have a good eye for talent. I know how to place players on the field, and I let them play. You know, I don't overcoach them. We support them every way we can. And, you know, I've been around some pretty good players as well. So they've helped us win games both at the club level and the international level. But my ability to connect with players, I think, is important. I do, although, again, I said I'm going to be 75 this year. I remember what it was like to be a player. And I don't want to talk nonsense to the players. I don't want to complicate things too much. I want to support them and put them in the best positions to succeed.
How do you – that makes a lot of sense. But what do you do when you get a diva? What do you do when you get someone who's – really talented, but they know it. You know what I mean? They know it a little bit too much. How do you get them to be a part of a team?
I coach David Beckham.
That's why I asked, actually. I didn't want to say his name there, Bruce, but you got it out of me.
Landon Donovan, Robbie Keane, you know, Christian Pulisic. You know, you got to earn the respect of those players and understand where they're coming from. You know, you coach David Beckham differently than you coach another player. Same thing with Landon or Robbie Keane, my current players on this team. They're all different, and I appreciate that, and I respect that, and I try to, you know, understand where they're coming from and try to support them every way I can.
What about when they have a big ego, but they're not as talented? I'm asking because one of my good friends, Cal Martino, played for you. Yeah. How do you coach someone who thinks they're great?
Kyle was my son's roommate at University of Virginia.
So okay.
I know Kyle way back. Yeah, Kyle does have a little bit of, self-confidence for sure. But he's a talented guy. He's done a great job on television, and he's a good guy, and he's living in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, he's not living far from me, actually. We hang out all the time, so he's going to be really annoyed that I asked you that.
Okay. He could use a good humbling.
We go back a long time.
The compilation of stories of, you know, all the players you've coached. I don't know if you've written a memoir already, but I mean.
Buddy, please do.
I did write a book that came out in 2018.
Okay.
And HarperCollins. I'm going to write another book when I retire. I have a lot of stories. And my goal is, I read this Tiger Woods book that he had one-page chapters. I want to write like 200 one-page chapters about my different experiences. And I think it would be pretty cool.
I'd read 200 100-page chapters of Bruce Arena's right life. It
would be an anthology of Bruce Arena poems. Yes, I'd read it, man.
Hopefully one of the stories is going to be the success of this 2026 U.S. team in the World Cup. It could be a great story.
And obviously, you know, one of the chapters in there of your appearance on the Cooligan, to how much of an impact it left on you.
You could do a whole page on just this. I'd be shocked. I'd be honored.
That's going to be the opening chapter.
We'll write the foreword for you. How about that?
So, Bruce, when it comes to this World Cup so far, whether it's the national team, whether it's the tournament as a whole, what has impressed you about this World Cup in its entirety?
Well, first of all, I think the stadiums and the crowds have been fantastic. And very surprised at some of the small countries, how well they've done. So it makes it a little bit exciting. You know, when they expanded the tournament to 48 teams, I thought it was going to be a disaster. But countries like Haiti, Curacao, they've represented themselves pretty well. And that's encouraging. And it's been fantastic to see, you know, people from all over the world here enjoying this tournament. And the United States is the best host ever in a World Cup. And it's just been fantastic. These stadiums full, and the excitement of the people in the stands, and the play on the field. It's been great. And I think it's only going to get better as we move forward.
Okay. I love that. In fact, I want to ask you about some of the conversation that's being had about the U.S. men's national team now. A running theme that I'm hearing is, well, the U.S. finally has a quote-unquote real football coach. And now you're doing the show Coach's Corner with two other guys who we rooted for wildly, who we truly believe all three, I think, represent a different watershed moment in U.S. soccer and the development of soccer in this country. Although I noticed Jurgen Klinsmann's not on the show. Maybe he didn't answer an email or something. You can tell me about that. But look at the smile. Okay. What do you think about people who say Mauricio Pochettino is now a real football coach? What do you think about you and the two other guys in that Coach's Corner? How do you guys react to something like that?
I think all three of us are at the same level. We can coach. There's no question on my mind. I've met Pochettino, really wonderful guy. I have the greatest respect for him. Bob Bradley can coach. Greg Berhalter can coach, and I can coach.
Okay, well,
that's my answer.
Well,
to your question.
Well put. I love the fact that you are doing this this show. I mean, I think for American soccer fans, even just the concept is like so new, of just having all these former men's national team coaches in the same room and or just having these conversations together. Do you like talking to other coaches? Is this like is it a fun aspect of the game, or would you rather coach?
Well, I love it. And, you know, Bob and I go back a long time. I coach Greg as a player, and he was on my coaching staff in the Galaxy. And I enjoy, you know, we enjoy throwing around the, you know, the BS with each other. And we all have different opinions, which is interesting. So on the show, you know, we're not all in agreement. We have different perspectives on things, and it makes it interesting. But I love getting together with coaches and talk the game. And these are two gentlemen that really know how to talk the game. You know, Bob is brilliant. Greg gets after it like no other. And, you know, I'm there for whatever that means. You know,
you're the vibes guy. You're the personality hire, Bruce.
I'm the old man. You know, I'm the guy that's a little bit senile in the group, I think.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Greg Berhalter the player that headed the ball into the arm of the opposing player at the quarterfinals?
Yes, he's the one in the Germany game, which was the handball on the goal line. That was Greg's header.
VAR.
Yes. We need.
If someone would have done this, you would have made it to a semifinal. What that would have done for football in this country. Is there one player that you go back and you think hasn't gotten their due they're just due for how much, how good of a player they were, how much they meant? Maybe it was injuries, or maybe something else.
One guy I would say is Brian McBride, fantastic player. It was our striker, number nine. The other guy I think of, Tony Sanna is the right back. Eddie Pope is one of our center backs. Our goalkeepers, I don't have to speak for Friedel and Keller and Howard and Miola. We had some of the they were among the top goalkeepers in the world. They were fantastic. A surprise guy in the 2002 World Cup would have been Pablo Mastroianni, who now coaches Real Salt Lake. Of course, Landon was an excellent player. Claudio Reyna, in his own right. So, you know, I've been around a lot of good players. I've been privileged, and you know, the group this year is a real good group, and I think they have a lot. It's a fairly young team, and not only do we have this World Cup, but the next one, we could be really big players in the next World Cup as well.
I agree.
No, this is incredible. I mean, I very much, especially for a show like this, I see you guys as historians of this game, right? Like, we all have the journalists that write the books and stuff like that. And after having...
We all talked a lot of shit about all three of you.
but as there's so many conversations that we've had. Like, I got the honor of meeting Eddie Pope in Minnesota at an MLS All-Star game.
Tony Sanna as well.
And there's a lot of, like, stories that... I see them speak to each other, and I'm like, man, I can't believe nobody's talked about this, or this is not on any like public platform. So it's just great that you guys are doing this and just have another outlet to kind of hear these stories. So Bruce, this is incredible. Thank you so much for joining us. My last question to you, since we always joke about it, what is Bruce Arena's deli order?
That was going
to
be my last question.
You're
at an old school deli. I know you grew up in Long Island. You lived in Brooklyn for a little bit. What's the deli order, man?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. It's a smoked turkey on rye with provolone and brown mustard.
That's a good sandwich. All right, Cass's Deli over here. Let's go.
Love it, Bruce. Thank you.
I got one of those yesterday, just to tell you.
I really thought prosciutto was going to end up coming out of your mouth.
Okay. Well done. Bruce Arena. Thank you so much, head coach of the San Jose Earthquakes. Our producer is a big fan of you as well. He's a big Earthquakes fan as well.
And seriously, you have no idea how much this meant to us for you to come on our
show. Seriously,
you're welcome
back anytime.
Brooklyn guys, you know, we gotta hang out together all the time.
Oh my God, we gotta hear me. Smoked turkey provolone with mustard on rye. We'll share them, buddy.
Brown
mustard.
Brown mustard. Okay. Hey, I go to Delhi. I say, hey, give me the Bruce.
Give me the Bruce. Extra arena.
Bruce Arena, thank you so much.
Thank you,
man. All right, back on the Cooligans. And this was almost my punishment when I first got arrested as a teenager. Was to join the rowing crew, but Norway has turned it into a victory parade of sorts.
Hold on, does Newark, New Jersey have a rowing crew?
Oh, I was going to be forced to go to Nutley, New Jersey, or Kearney.
Okay.
Kearney, where Tony Miola's from.
This is super.
This is crazy.
This is incredible. Yeah.
Apparently, they did this in Times Square as well and completely took over Times Square.
Not the players, the fans.
You wouldn't know if some players were in there.
So
whenever they go fan cam into the Norway fans, a little bit much, by the way. Bruce Arena in the house is awesome. Yes, dude.
Shout out to Bruce. Thank you again, Bruce Arena, for joining us on the show. Bruce Arena.
Damn. This is why we love our fans. Dude. This is why we love our fans, dude.
Thank you.
Travesty of Trav.
Let's go. Dude. All right. So, shout out to Bruce Arena. Thank you again for joining us. But let's talk about...
By the way, we should have got that sandwich for this. Oh, man. It would have been so great to open with that sandwich on this segment, bro.
Just little mustard stains on Alexis's Jaguar.
You wouldn't see it. That's the benefit of the leopard, bro.
So, but let's talk about Norway.
Or Jaguars, we found out. But yes, Norway.
Norway and Erling Haaland, because he's had a fantastic start to his first World Cup.
I predicted on this show that Erling Haaland would have a standout World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
No one else was saying it.
I was not. I thought I thought it would effectively be a little like they would focus too much on him and prevent him from scoring. I was completely wrong. But look at this. This is a so Erling Haaland was asked about the upcoming game against
France.
This
is like the least Erling Haaland quote I've ever seen.
They're most likely, I believe they're moving on to the next round. They haven't won the group necessarily. But he says, I couldn't care too much about that game now.
Because they're already advancing.
France is probably going to win against us. They're probably going to win the whole tournament. So he's basically just like, I'm not even putting any pressure on myself. Yeah. I'm not going to give anybody bulletin board material.
This is like how, you know, when I was a teenager, they used to say, like, don't tell girls you're interested in that, you know, your thing is huge. You know what I mean? Because tell them it's small so that when they see it, they're like, whoa. You know what I mean? That's exactly what he's doing.
What a lovely analogy.
You know what I'm talking about? Did they ever talk about this when you were a teenager?
No, I didn't get this lesson.
You were playing computer games.
I got a more traditional birds and the bees conversation.
Yeah, we don't have that. We don't have that in Goa. All right. We're seeing Brad Holland sitting there manifesting himself a larger piece.
No, man. This dude is...
he is on one, man. Wait, what did I say, though? I did say... You mentioned defensively they're bad, and I said Erling Haaland's just going to have to score more goals.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, the a brace in both of Norway's games. But again, they did concede two in this game. So it's still a it's just, again, like, even though he's sort of joking about being facetious about France, like, sure. They're probably gonna beat us or whatever. But I mean, if it's a knockout game, they probably are going to beat them. You know what I mean? Like, it's a-
I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because you saw it when I wish I could remember the gentleman's name who came in as a sub and scored right away. Scoring with Heather. The way they're using Sorloth as a target man, but off to the right. If you look at Sorloth's heat map, he's just to the right. But the goalkeeper's passing directly to him. He's 6'6".
Yeah.
You're not going to get the ball away from him. So he's able to trap it. Now you're already in a position of attack. You're already in the final third. You see how automatic Odegaard is when he plays for Norway. It's a different level than he hits at Arsenal.
He's good, yes, but missed two fantastic chances. He can't score so far.
Again, nonetheless, yeah. I'm not saying he's perfect, but that's why you got Erling Haaland there.
Yeah.
For Sorloth, a guy who's a striker in his own right, to say, I'll go do all the hard work on the right, and I won't even bother with trying to get these stats. I'll let Erling Haaland be the one to collect all the goals. That means this team is on another level. And what I said is true. They need to score. Erling Haaland can carry them far. And we should probably have that conversation about how far, now that we've seen them in two games and now that they have qualified for the knockout rounds, how far can this team go? My point is, they're going to need Erling Haaland to score a ton of goals if they're going to get far, because defensively, they're Swiss cheese.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. They're Swiss cheese, but they have a few issues, and as soon as they face tougher teams, and they're going to have and tougher teams that are better defensively, mm-hmm. that can keep Haaland to one goal or no goals, right? It's going to be a little bit tougher to get through for them.
If at any point they start to lose the midfield battle and teams are able to hold possession against them, Erling Haaland's going to be alone. He's going to be on an island.
Yeah.
You're going to need everyone else behind the ball to defend. If you're doing that for long periods of time, you're going to get easily beat, because Norway can't play that way.
Sure.
That's not their game. So unless they're willing to go low block or even try a mid block, they're going to get scored on. The goal here is for Erling Haaland to outscore every other team.
Yeah, I wonder what this game against France is going to look like. You would imagine for Norway, and maybe also for France, in the first half, you try to win the game. And if you don't, then, in the second half, I think maybe both teams will be like, all right, we're both going to move through. Norway will be second, and then we'll go on with our lives or whatever.
I think the fact that they qualified for the next round is already massive. This is their first World Cup.
Sure.
So I don't know if you rest them, because Erling Haaland doesn't seem like the kind of guy who needs rest.
No, I don't think so either. I think
he shuts off at night, right? They plug him in, they charge him.
We look at the goal tracker here from Yahoo Sports. So the golden boot race is heating up. So Messi and Mbappe, Messi with 5 and Mbappe and Haaland with 4.
Erling Haaland could very easily win the golden boot. Very easily.
Without a doubt.
He's not that far, and he has the... It just doesn't seem unnatural for him to score.
He could have had a hat trick yesterday, yes, when he took the ball from the goalkeeper and hit the post. He probably could have taken one more touch to make the shot a little bit easier.
I think the post has been hit in every single game in this tournament, by the way.
You can't bet on it.
You can't bet on it. They don't want you to win. The house always wins.
But can he win? Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's it's not that crazy. The only thing is,
but the two questions then overlap, right? In order for him to win, they're going to need a deep run. Can this team go on a deep run? I think defensively, I still call them as a dark horse the same way Morocco was last tournament, right? They're going to be fun to watch. They're going to surprise a few people. They're going to get far. Similar to what I think will happen with the U.S. I think the U.S. will get far, and I think they will surprise a few people. But can they get to a final? Can they win it? It's going to take that. I have more confidence out of those three names that Mbappe will get to the final and will win it.
Yeah.
So by that, by virtue of just playing more games and having more minutes, he'll get access to more goals.
Sure.
Or more opportunities to score goals. So I think Mbappe probably walks away with this thing. But if somehow Norway can put it together defensively and go far, there's no reason why Erling Haaland doesn't win this.
Yeah, but I mean, just based on how well Norway are playing right now, I think a quarterfinal is like not crazy, right? It's like,
yeah,
they look pretty good.
Yeah.
If
it was Norway versus U.S., what would you, how would you feel about that game?
I think the U.S. is strong enough defensively. Chris Richards faces Erling Haaland in the Premier League. Yeah. There's some familiarity. Tim Ream, I believe, faced him. I think at least twice, if I can remember. Not too terrified. I think it would be a difficult. But I would pick the U.S. midfield over the Norway midfield.
100%.
That's the main thing. Anyway, okay. Let's move.
Let us know in the comments what you think.
Yeah, yeah.
Norway. Who would you pick
next? Let's talk to some previews for a couple of matches coming up. Colombia is playing against Congo in a little bit. Colombia's—they've been interesting because they obviously their first game not a super strong start. But this is going to be a very, very defensive game, and because I think the focus is going to be on let's stop Luis Diaz. James is going to be an interesting piece here because he hasn't been the James that we're sort of used to seeing. He's playing a lot slower. He's trying to just kind of ping the ball around. But when it comes to just like either defending or just being pacey around in the midfield, like just that isn't his game. So he's a little bit of a defensive liability. He's been a defensive liability for the last like 5-6 years. So. The Congo is going to give Colombia a difficult time, especially in this
incredibly
midfield.
Incredibly difficult. And look, I think the thing about Colombia that we're not even talking about is that in order for them to win, they have to start to get streaky.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's what they do. They can, once they catch momentum, they can overwhelm you. Luis Diaz is very much a momentum player. James Rodriguez, if he plays, can be a momentum player if he found the same peptides that Messi's using.
You work for a peptide company?
I'm telling you, there's the only answer is either that or he's on the same thing Usain Bolt was. But if James Rodriguez could dial back the clock, even for 20 minutes, he can start to find some of these players open, and you could see Colombia offensively overwhelmed. But Congo's built to bend and not break defensively and to catch you in a moment of weakness. And they can absolutely do that for Colombia, who a lot of people had as a dark horse and really hasn't put it together that way just yet.
Sure. Congo has Aaron Wan-Bissaka. They have some strong players, just strong defenders. And it's going to be a good matchup.
First time I heard his name, I thought it was a Spanish guy, Wan-Bissaka. I said, ¿de dónde eres? Juan Bisaga.
De lo mío. De lo mío.
¿Qué es eso? ¿Es Puerto Riqueño? ¿Qué tú eres?
It's going to be challenging. But let's look at Canada.
They are playing Switzerland.
Okay. So
this is going to be tough, Canada.
Yeah. They won the game, obviously dominated against Qatar. Yeah, the injury to Kone.
Injury to Kone. Maybe that bonds the players.
Yeah, maybe. The draw to Bosnia and Herzegovina where they were down one, but Kyle Aaron gets the equalizer. This game is probably not. No, I don't think they didn't expect to be in this situation necessarily, but. A third game where some other countries or some of the other host nations, the U.S. Mm-hmm. and Mexico, are already secured the top of the group. Canada has to fight a little bit more. How hard do you play? This is another
one. Canada doesn't need to win this game.
You think they shouldn't try to win the group?
I'm not saying they shouldn't try.
They don't need to win the game.
They don't need to win the game in order to advance forward. And here's the thing. Neither does Switzerland. A draw each. and they're good. They draw as a point each.
So, but I think if there's no, I don't think there's a, there. I guess the goal differential is crazy. So Bosnia can't catch up, but Bosnia does have the head-to-head against Canada. They drew. So,
but they're not catching up with
them. I mean, so it would be kind of nuts. Yeah. They would need so many.
That's it. I mean, guys.
You think they should just take the draw?
I think if I was Jesse Marsh, I'd call the Switzerland coach and go, hey, why don't we let my bench play your bench? Let them play. Right? We're not doing
these fans a show.
We're not doing the Gihong. You know what I mean? But yo, Kyle Aaron, nobody snaps a leg. You know what I mean? Everybody stays on a bench that's needed. Eustachio gets a brace. For me, Eustachio is the player that he becomes the pendulum that dictates how this team plays. You know, I understand that, you know, they're good on the counter and Kyle Aaron is scoring buckets. He's looking really good. But for me, if you can control the midfield even a little bit, like Eustachio, if he can just start to pull some of those strings and get some passes in behind the line, mm-hmm. suddenly this attack hits. Tage Buchanan, if he can drive at a defender, 1v1, if he can do that consistently, he puts a lot of pressure on that side and it opens up Kyle Aaron's side defensively. To me, Eustachio and Tage Buchanan somewhere along there, that's the players they needed. But I'm hoping none of the players I mentioned start.
Okay.
I'm hoping the kid from the Canadian Premier League gets a goal.
I'm sure Switzerland would want to win the group. I think Canada should try to win this group.
I also agree. I think it would be a good look, but I also think don't put your players in an unnecessary position.
I'd say for the first 45, try to win it.
Okay.
Go for it. Like, I mean,
at halftime, both teams in the same locker room.
Nobody comes out.
Hey, no. Everybody, here's the script, okay? Here's what's going to happen, okay? Nobody scores.
I think it would be a
crossbar challenge for the next 45 minutes.
The positive here would be that Canada would be tested in a better way than the U.S. or Mexico if they play in this third game, because we know the third game for the U.S. and Mexico, they're probably going to bench a lot of guys. It's going to be a very different lineup. So I think it could be a huge benefit if they play a tough game if they beat Switzerland. How do you think the confidence won't be incredibly high for this Canadian team, especially after losing a teammate like that?
You have like a player that needs to have a standout game of that. Will, who's a key player? Obviously?
I mean, look, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Eustachio, but I think he hasn't played in the first two games, but Alphonso Davies, I've seen, he has the bib on. I've been seeing some of the videos that Canada's been putting out, and like
maybe he comes in as a sub.
He wants to play. Yeah, like he clearly the desire is there. So I think it also, again, another boost to the confidence of the Canadian national team is if Alphonso Davies is. So I'm hoping he plays.
You don't think just like same with Christian Pulisic, just give him that extra break now. So now when the knockout rounds, a round of 32 starts,
he hasn't even played. More fresh. The rust, bro.
He's been playing.
Rust or rest. Rust or rest. What you want? Okay. So, all right, real quick, a couple other previews. England is playing against Ghana.
Yeah.
Another game where
it's only game two.
Only game two. England, but you know, England did concede two goals. They drew to Croatia in that first half. So still maybe a little bit of a concern there.
We'll have moments, but I think if you look at the England squad, it's an overwhelming level of talent, especially as the subs. And similar to what I think happened with the Algeria Jordan yesterday, I think the subs are going to be the name of the game here. I think once the subs come in, you're going to see a tired Ghana that doesn't have the bench to be able to withstand the level of talent that's going to come in off the bench for
sure. Okay, well, Ghana are unbeaten in seven matches, and haven't conceded in their last four. So yeah. not that's we'll see how
faced Harry Kane.
So it's gonna be interesting. Okay, we got Panama, Croatia is last one we're looking at real quick, and both teams, important games for both of these teams. I mean, this is gonna be crucial for both of them, but obviously. You're going to have to favor Croatia here. Panama, again, I want them to have like a better World Cup, and it's just not exactly where we want it to be.
I'm not going
to
be watching that game. Do we have any comments? Is there anyone?
Best of luck to Panama.
We only have like less than a minute. But if there's any funny comments, let us know.
Yeah.
No one's cooked this shirt enough.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Only
I was expecting more. Can we get the peptide menu Messi? asking for a friend, bro. Your boy needs it too.
You got a peptide,
a little something
guy?
From my L5S1 out back, huh?
Michael,
this is my heart says U.S., but my brain says Norway. Our backline scares me against Holland.
I mean, every backline should be kind of
scared.
Alex
Freeman got him, dog. Watch me.
Okay, Alexis Reppin.
Good one. There it is. Thank you, bro. Thank Dr. Congo, much respect, bro.
All right.
That is the guy who gave me the peptide.
Alexis has his number if you need it, everybody.
Yeah. Just hit me on WhatsApp. No, hit me on Signal. What's the one that can't be traced?
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We're back every day, Monday through Friday, noon Eastern, live here, whether it's in New York.
Hit the bell.
Hit the bell on YouTube. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube and across all channels on Yahoo. Y'all the best. See you tomorrow,
love
everybody.
You guys.
Adios.